It's time for Talks About Tech Weekly, episode 47, recorded on the 4th of November, 2012. Hello, everyone. You're very welcome to Talks About Tech Weekly. This is episode 47 today. I am your host, Michael McAndrew. And as always, I am joined by Kevin McAndrew.
Hello.
How are you today, Kevin?
I'm good, thank
that
you.
That is very good. We were away for a few weeks, so we have a lot to talk about. Some new changes in the studio. You can see here, down here, we've got new lower thirds, if you're watching video. But in terms of technology news, there has been so much. There's been so much news from Apple to Microsoft to... Well, we'll talk a bit about Google as well. So, to start off, we're going to talk a bit about the Apple event, which happened about 2 weeks ago now, and they decided that they were going to have another event so close to the iPhone event. And some people were kind of saying, what's the point? These new products might take from the sale of the iPhone. Well, no, it really, when you think about it, it wouldn't. But the first thing that they announced was a new, faster iPad. Mm-hmm. We were expecting to see an iPad mini, which we did. But the first thing they did was they decided that they were going to upgrade the current generation iPad, the third generation iPad, to a new fourth generation. Well, they didn't really call it a fourth generation iPad. The only difference is they upgraded the chip from the A5X chip to an A6X chip.
And now, it's also not the time. Usually they'd come out with a new iPad in February.
Yes, exactly. They always release certain... They have a timeline, you know, where they release a product, a new version of a product, over such a period of time. Like, the iPhone is every year. The iPad is every year. But it's been, what, 9 months?
Yeah,
9 months. Since they've upgraded the iPad. Now, something I find interesting is, if they have the A6X chip now in the new iPad, why didn't they put an A6X chip on the iPhone 5? And, you know, it's meant to be a lot faster in every way, really, you know, than an A6 chip. So why didn't they put the A6X chip in the iPad or in the iPhone 5? Maybe was it not ready? Mm-hmm. Could you think of any reasons, Kevin?
Maybe it might have been price. You know, the technology mightn't be there to put the A6X chip in the iPhone 5 itself. There might be enough room for it, or, you know, anything like that, really. That's the only explanation I can really think of for this.
Now, the A6X chip, we might see an A7 chip in the iPhone 6, the sixth generation iPhone. What would it be called? The iPhone 5S?
Probably.
The iPhone 5S. It's funny because the iPhone 5 is actually the sixth generation iPhone.
Which is
something kind of strange. They also announced a new iPad mini, which was, you know.
It's actually the seventh generation iPhone.
No, it's the sixth.
Because they went
iPhone, 1. iPhone 3G, 3GS, 4, 4S, 5. So they also announced an iPad mini. Mm-hmm. 7.5-inch screen, or 7.9-inch screen. Mm-hmm. So it's significantly smaller than the current iPad.
Yeah.
Has an A5 chip in it. So it's the same chip that's in the second generation iPad.
Yeah.
It has a 1024x768 display. Now, the whole point in, you know, continuing with the same resolution of display as an iPad 2 was that any application designed for an iPad will automatically work on the iPad mini.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good idea.
Yeah.
But some people would rather have a retina display, of course, you know, and maybe a bit of a faster processor, maybe an A6 processor or even an A6X processor. It's not really like Apple to put older generation processors, older generation stuff in, you know, stuff that we've seen from previous devices into, you know, what I mean is you never really see Apple putting, you never see really see Apple with low end, you know, reasonably priced devices.
Mm-hmm.
Really. You know, it's all the high end, you know, what's leading in technology. And that's what I like about Apple.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what makes them have, you know, one of the greatest products out there is because they make the best. Now, it's expensive, but you're getting the best, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas with the iPad mini, I feel, you know, there's no top spec 7-inch tablet out there when you think about it. Now, the, I suppose the Nexus 7, now that the iPad mini is supposed to, you know, they compared it at the keynote, which is very funny. They compared the iPad mini to the Nexus 7, and the iPad mini came out on top. What is the price on this iPad mini? €339. Now, some people are saying it's a good price. Others are saying it's too expensive. I agree with people who are saying it's too expensive. The reason being is because when they were doing the keynote, they compared, they actually showed an image of the Nexus 7, and they compared the two devices. Now, they said Nexus 7 costs $200. The iPad mini, they didn't say anything about the iPad mini at the time, but they compared all the advantages of the iPad mini. And, you know, there were advantages, like it's meant to be faster, better use of screen real estate, I suppose, on the iPad mini and things like that. Now, you know, I found that kind of interesting, but is that worth €140 more? Is it worth it to get an iPad mini when you can get the Nexus 7? I've tried out the Nexus 7, and I think it is an absolutely, it's an amazing tablet. It's a really, really nice tablet.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really feel that I'd still rather go for a Nexus 7, because the difference between €220. The difference between €220 and €340 is €120 difference. That's a very big difference. Now, again, you are paying for an Apple device. So, you know, you have to pay up the Apple premiums, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Which some people think, some people would willingly pay for it, but others think it's a bit of a joke. Funny. Yeah. So what's your opinion on the iPad mini anyway? Do you think it will make a good penetration to the market, or do you think it'll be one of these devices? Apple hasn't had one of those devices in a while. All their devices really have been successful.
Yeah.
Recent times.
Well, again, I had I was talking to a lot of people who said, yeah, I think I'll get an iPad mini if it comes out. But they recently said, yeah, well, I've seen it now. And thinking about it, I don't think that it would be worth it. I think it would be better to get either an iPad, because there's not much of a difference in price if you're looking for something nice and compact. An iPad is about the right size. So they're saying they're going to get the iPad mini because it would be much cheaper. But it's not too much cheaper, if you know what I mean. You're going to be getting a faster processor in the iPad, better screen, bigger screen as well. But you do have to pay the price. But to pay that price, I think it is worth it to get the iPad instead of the iPad mini. So, myself, I think a lot of people, instead of getting the iPad, they will get the iPad mini because it is a better price. But overall, I don't know. I don't think it is worth it to get the iPad mini. I think you should just go, as you said, for the Nexus 7 because it is a nicer device, much faster. You know, it does run Android, so that's also a plus to it. I believe it runs Jelly Bean, which is the latest version of it. And, you know, I don't see any reason why you wouldn't go for the Nexus 7. It's a great tablet, you know, great 7-inch tablet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if I was to get a new tablet now, I would get the Nexus 7. I mean, if I, you know, I had a choice between an iPad mini, or a Nexus 7, I would get the Nexus 7.
Yeah.
Because for the price, it has the most features. Now, Apple also made the argument about the fact that the Nexus 7 runs phone applications. So it's kind of like a scaled up phone application, right? So on the Galaxy S3, you would have the same app, same Kindle app, for example, as on the Nexus 7. Now, the scaled up apps look absolutely amazing on the Nexus 7. Like, they have scaled really, really well, you know. But I am surprised that Google have not come out with a separate kind of app store, a separate section in the app store for tablet apps, right? So these are apps that are designed specifically for the tablet. Now, you know, the whole thing where the apps are scaled up on the Nexus 7, that doesn't bother me because the apps look really nice. But they're not designed for a tablet. They're designed for a phone, right? Mm-hmm. So you're kind of wasting the extra screen real estate with the Nexus 7. Whereas with the iPad, those applications are specifically designed for the iPad. Mm-hmm. So you're taking full advantage of the extra screen real estate. Now, but is that enough to convince me to go with the iPad? I have invested a lot of money in apps on iOS, but I still would rather go with the Nexus 7. Now, Kevin, do you think the iPad mini is going to take from the sales of the iPad? Because you were saying, you know, people will rather buy an iPad mini than an iPad if they're going to upgrade. I would rather buy an iPad mini than an iPad because the price is significantly cheaper.
Yeah. Well, I thought there would be a bigger, bigger market for the iPad mini when it came out. But strangely enough, a lot of the people who were contemplating and getting it said no. But I do think this will eat into the iPad's actual, you know, I think it'll eat into the sales of it. Because this iPad mini, again, it is very good. Yet it does not have a Retina display. It does not have, you know, the new A6X chip. But, you know, it's sort of understandable for a new project. I guess Apple sort of want to test it out. But I think when they're bringing out the next iPad mini, if they do, hopefully it'll be soon, I do believe that they will have the same processor as the iPad. Now, well, I'd love them to do that, but again, I don't see any reason. I think the reason why they put the A5 chip in the iPad mini is to get people to buy the iPad because it is a little bit more money, and you know, people might be saying, but see, the iPad mini is the same processor. Well, it doesn't. The iPad mini is not as powerful. So I think it will eat into the iPad sales, but I do not think that we'll see a big sort of decrease in the iPad sales. I think they'll just still be selling like hotcakes.
So you can see here, I can bring it up here. Here are the prices of the iPads. So you have, starting with the 16-gigabyte Wi-Fi model, $339. The 32-gigabyte model, $439, and the 64-gigabyte model, $539 on Wi-Fi. So Wi-Fi plus cellular, 16-gigabyte, $469, 32-gigabyte, $569, and the 64-gigabyte, $669. Right. So they're the prices. Now, what about an iPad 2? Let's go to the store here and see Shop iPad. We have the iPad mini starting off right here on the top left corner at $339. Now, the iPad 2 costs $399. So the difference between the iPad mini at €340 and the iPad 2 at €400, right, is a €60 difference. So would you rather pay €60 extra? I mean, the specs are pretty much identical on the two devices.
Yeah.
Would you rather pay €60 extra for the bigger screen? I would. So I would rather buy, you know, that €400 iPad 2 than the iPad mini for €60 less. Mm-hmm. Because the extra screen makes a lot of a difference. Now, it also depends on what you want the device for. If you're planning on bringing your iPad or your tablet device around with you all over the place, then I think the iPad mini is definitely a better choice for you. But if you're planning on using your tablet around the house as a device, you know, more portable than a laptop, but not, you know, if you're away from the desk, for example, if you're in the kitchen, you know, you don't want to be taking up space with your laptop.
Mm-hmm.
So you use a tablet. Then the bigger iPad is definitely the choice. €60 difference, I would probably rather go for the iPad 2. If they had a Retina display on the iPad mini and an A6 chip at €339, then I would rather go for the iPad mini. It's got much better specs. I would rather go for the iPad mini then. It would be worth the money for €340 if it had the Retina display and the better processor, you know. But unfortunately, it doesn't, and it has pretty much identical specs to the iPad 2. So I'd rather go for the iPad 2. And so I think Apple have kind of done that on purpose. They've done it so that you're not really affecting the iPad sales, you know. They've done it quite cleverly. But is it going to take from the iPad mini sales? How well are the iPad minis going to sell? And that's something that I'm definitely looking forward to seeing. I do think the iPad mini is a very nice device, however.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't get me wrong in that. But, I do think it is a very nice device. But I would rather go for an iPad 2. And I have an iPad 2 right behind me there. So
using it as a clock.
I am using it as a clock.
Shows you how much you love it.
Well, I'm just using it as a clock now. I use it for everything, though. I even use it to tweet before the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I do love my iPad. I think it's a great device.
Mm-hmm.
A really, really great device.
There isn't much of a difference between the iPad 2 and the iPad 3, however, even though it's the same sort of thing as the iPad mini, you know.
Well, between the iPad 2 and the new iPad, we'll say. Well, it's actually kind of the old new iPad. they've updated the iPad again.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a fourth generation iPad, kind of. They didn't say it was, though. Reason why is because the only thing they updated was the processor.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the differences between the iPad 2 and the third generation iPad were, yeah, you know, better processor and a Retina display. Now, a Retina display is pretty big. But on the iPad, I don't really notice the difference between the Retina display and, mm-hmm. you know, your normal average display. Even though the difference is definitely there.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is huge. But, yeah, I suppose the differences were kind of minimal from the first iPad.
Mm-hmm.
They also announced the MacBook Pro Retina 13-inch. Which was expected.
Yeah.
And this device, you know, it's a very, like, the MacBook Pro Retina, the 15-inch was rated like one of, like, the best Apple computer people have ever used.
Mm-hmm.
The screen was brilliant. It was so thin. It was so fast. It had everything. It was just the best Apple computer. better than any Apple computer, including the Mac Pros, because of, you know, how amazing it is. And now they've brought out the 13-inch. I think this was a really great move for Apple to bring out the 13-inch. It's exactly the same as your 15-inch MacBook Pro Retina. Just, you know, it's a 13-inch screen, so it is significantly cheaper. It really is. And, you know, the MacBook Pro Retina was a bit out of my reach. So, you know, the price was quite expensive, really. So, with the MacBook Pro, let's see. You've got your 13-inch, let's see here, the Retina 15-inch starts at €2,350. And the Retina 13-inch starts at €1,800. That is a much better price point. Now, for that, you get the 2.5 gigahertz dual-core i5 processor with a turbo boost of up to 3.1 gigahertz. 8 gigabytes of RAM. That's good. And a 128 gigabyte SSD with your integrated 4000 graphics. Now, with a 15-inch, you get the 15-inch Retina. You get a 2.3 gigahertz quad-core i7 with turbo boost up to 3.3 gigahertz, 8 gigabytes of RAM again, and a 256 gigabyte SSD with also a GTX GT650M 1 gigabyte graphics card. So, which would you rather have? Like, I actually, when you look at it there, I think the 15-inch looks like it's a bit better value for money. Because you get a better graphics card, more memory, faster processor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it looks like you're actually getting a bit better value for money with the 15-inch. Like, the differences are fairly minimal, but you do get a quad-core processor with the... you do get a quad-core processor with the 15-inch, whereas you only get a dual-core processor with the 13-inch.
That actually kind of surprised me how the MacBook Pro 15-inch Retina has a quad-core, but the 13-inch doesn't.
I know.
That really surprised me now.
Yeah, I thought that they would. I think it's more of a power thing.
Yeah.
Because you have less space for a battery with the 13-inch model. And so you need a processor that has a lower wattage,
mm-hmm.
I suppose. So, I think it's good with the 13-inch, but I was kind of expecting better specs from it, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was expecting it to be identical specs to the 15-inch, but smaller, and because of that you get it at a cheaper price. But the screen obviously doesn't cost that much more. Like, it doesn't cost to go from a 13 inch to a 15 inch, that's 2 inches. That's not going to be a big enough difference in price, you know, to be able to bring down the price that much, I suppose. They also announced a new Mac Mini. I think this is going to be something that is probably going to be very big. And the reason why is because, you know, if someone is moving over from a Windows computer to a Mac, they want to get a Mac, they want to get their first Mac, I will recommend the Mac Mini. Reason being is because you get an i5 dual core processor, plenty of speed. The old version had 2 gigabytes of RAM standard. This one has 4 gigabytes of RAM standard. And it has Ivy Bridge now. They've upgraded it to Ivy Bridge. Really great, right? For the price. So, this new Mac Mini, you can get a quad-core i7 in it, if you want, up to that. Now, it will set you back a good bit of money, but you can do that. Starts off with the dual-core i5.
Mm-hmm.
You've got USB 3 and Thunderbolt, which is nice. So I think that the Mac, like I have two Mac Minis. I have an old Mac Mini and the one previous generation to this Mac Mini. I have an i5 dual core. It came with 2 gigabytes of RAM, and I just upgraded it to 8.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was good. Now, what is the price for this? €659. So it's pretty much identical. Now, for €659, you're going to get a 2.5 gigahertz dual core i5 with 4 gigabytes of RAM and a 500 gigabyte hard drive, the 4000 integrated graphics. Now, you can upgrade to an €860 Mac Mini with a quad-core i7, 4 gigabytes of RAM, a terabyte hard drive. So you could always just upgrade it like that as well if you wanted a bit more power out of your Mac Mini. But I think the Mac Mini is it's a great machine, especially for people who want to just, you know, try out a Mac or have it as a family computer. Because the iMac is a very expensive machine when you think about it. So I think that the Mac Mini will really do very well. They also announced, on top of that, they announced so much stuff at this event, the new iMac. So everything we really talked about on the previous show about what Apple were probably going to announce, they did announce.
Yeah.
Except we weren't expecting any changes to the current iPad. We were expecting a Lightning connector to go on it. That's it.
Yeah.
We weren't expecting an A6X processor, and that definitely took us by surprise, but that's the only thing. So a new iMac, Sandy Bridge processor, of course, USB 3, no optical drive. They got rid of that. And let me just bring up the image of the new iMac.
So thin.
It is incredibly thin. It looks amazing. It looks really nice. And that's why they got rid of the optical drive. One of the reasons. It looks stunning. It looks really, really nice. I mean, wow. All new design. The speaker goes right along the edge of that there. It looks amazing.
And really it still has USB 3, 4 USB 3, 2 Thunderbolt, SDXC card slot, and headphone jack. And they fit all that at the back. And they also have gigabit Ethernet. So it's, you know, you wouldn't think they'd be able to fit it in, but instead of putting it at the sides, now they just have it at the back.
Right. So the So it's going to cost $1,300. It isn't out yet. So what's that in euro? They haven't announced what it is in euro. It's about €1,400. €1,400, I think. Yeah, about that. About €1,400.
Yeah, it is. It's €1,399.
Right. So, I mean, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, no Retina display on that. You wouldn't really want to put a Retina display on that. It would bring up the price dramatically.
It would be interesting how much it would cost.
It would definitely cost a lot of money. I can assure you that. Definitely cost a lot of money. So that is just the Apple event.
Mm-hmm.
We've just talked about the Apple event. A new, faster, it's not that new, but a faster iPad, an iPad mini, an iMac, a 13-inch MacBook Pro Retina, and a Mac Mini. That's a lot of stuff. So I was pretty happy when I saw all this stuff coming out. We didn't expect an or a Mac Mini, I don't think. I didn't expect a Mac Mini.
Yeah, same. And the new iPad.
Yeah, it definitely took me by surprise. They were the two things that I wasn't really expecting. Okay, moving on. Windows 8 has come out. No rounds of applause there or anything. Yeah. So yeah. It has been released to download, of course. They've also, you know, many manufacturers have come out with laptops and tablets running Windows RT for... Now, Windows RT is like a custom version of Windows 8 just for ARM processors. And then you have Windows 8, which is designed for x86 and x64. So that's 32-bit, 64-bit. The RT was sold out, which is very good.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot of people pre-ordered, you know, sold out for the price of $499. Now, that is the $499 is just the tablet. You pay an extra $100 for the, or an extra, yes, an extra $100 for the keyboard.
What?
Yeah, that's just the touch keyboard. So the keyboard that, you know, the $99 keyboard that you get, it's just a touch. They're just touch keys. They're not actual physical keys.
Huh?
Yeah, you just touch them. It has a trackpad as well. $99 is quite steep for the touch one. You pay an extra $10 for the type one. It's the type pad. So that actually has physical keys with a bit of travel, which is nicer. Wow. But
well, so the $100 one, is that... is it a screen, is it? Or what is it?
It's a keyboard.
Is it just capacitive or...?
Yeah, so they're just touch keys. Capacitive screen. Touch keys.
Oh, okay.
They don't have any travel on them. At all.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
So, yeah, you just touch them. Yeah. So, you know, it probably wouldn't be the nicest typing experience, really.
I'd probably pay the extra $10.
Yeah, that's what everyone was doing, you know, paying the extra $10. Yeah. But really, would you want to pay an extra $10 on top of $100 for a keyboard? It is quite steep. Now, okay. I wonder how many downloads of Windows 8 there have been. I think Windows 8 will come out on... Yeah, people will buy new laptops. Now, I think that the majority of laptops being sold by manufacturers licensing a copy of Windows 8 will have touchscreens, because there have been new lines of laptops and computers with touchscreens on them.
Yeah.
Right? So if you were buying, you know, HP, for example, announced a... They released... a laptop with a touchscreen on it, especially for Windows 8. So you can, when you go into your Metro thing, you can, you know, you swipe and, yeah, you can get your tiles thing and all that.
Sort of like the Transformer X.
Yeah, right, for Windows 8. Yeah. And it's as powerful as any laptop.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a Sandy Bridge processor and things like that. But it's got a touchscreen on. Mm-hmm. So... I think that's what most people are going to do. They're not going to download it. Because I know I haven't upgraded to Windows 8. You get a, what, $40 upgrade? Are you going to update to Windows 8, Kevin?
No.
That was a straight away no from Kevin.
No.
Well,
actually, the problem I've been having with Windows at the moment is... I'm using my Mac. I just got a Mac. Got a new MacBook Air.
Thing looks nice.
I got a new MacBook Air, but I was using my computer downstairs, and Windows on it is just so slow. You'd think it'd be much faster. That's the one thing about Windows. Windows is, it's pretty good. It's a nice operating system. But the one thing I do not like about it is that it takes up a lot of your CPU power. This MacBook Air, like, it's nothing compared to my computer downstairs, but yet...
Power-wise.
Yeah, but yet it runs at about the same speed, which is crazy. You know, now I'm just using this computer, like, all the time, because I can bring it around the place as well, you know?
Right. So you're happy with your new MacBook Air?
Yes, I am.
So you got the 11-inch? 11.6-inch?
Yeah, I got the Core i5 as well, or else I would have had to wait another 2 or 3 weeks. But it's not bad, like, you know. Usually it hasn't crashed on me yet, you know.
That's good.
It has Mountain Lion as well, so, you know, all the new features of that.
Oh, I haven't even upgraded my computers to Mountain Lion yet. From what I've been using from your computer, Kevin, any of the new features I wouldn't use. And, you know, there's a new dock. To see, it's very difficult to see if an application is running or not. That's something I find kind of, you know, they've changed the little dot. It's not a dot anymore to tell you if an application is open or not.
You can kind of see it. It's a tiny.
Yeah, I kind of find it difficult to see that, and I kind of need to know that.
Yeah.
Really.
I changed it to the sidebar instead of having it at the bottom.
Right.
Interesting. Because it has the dot as the proper dot on it. But I think I might have changed. Yeah, I kind of changed back because I prefer it the other way. But I honestly do not know why they did that. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, and you know, before you got that MacBook Air, I didn't really see the point in going out and, you know, getting a laptop so small. Yeah. I didn't see the point. It's like, why would you want to see such a small screen and try to do all your work on it? But now that Kevin has actually got it, I understand the reason why people go off and they buy MacBook Airs, because it's so easy to bring around with you. This MacBook Pro I have is insanely big. Mm-hmm. And insanely heavy in comparison with the MacBook Air.
Yeah.
I completely understand why people would get it.
Now, just to give you an example of how thin this is, hold it up to the camera. That's how thin it is. It is very, very, very,
thin. It is extremely thin.
It's like this thin at the thinnest point. Thinner.
It's very impressive.
And it's also, along with that, it's very, very light. And I can literally go around with it like this, one-handed.
He doesn't use his iPad anymore. He just uses his MacBook Air.
I literally have not used my iPad. Well, I've used it maybe once since I got this.
You know what? I could definitely see it coming in as another device. I have a desktop, I have a laptop, and I have an iPad. I could definitely see the MacBook Air coming in as, like, my Ultrabook. So my laptop, like, my desktop I use upstairs. My laptop I use downstairs in my desk, in my comfy seat, and I just relax and chill out and mess around with After Effects. and then my MacBook Air, I'd be able to bring around the house with me. And, you know, be able to do CPU-intensive app-like stuff just using this tiny little 11-inch laptop. Mm-hmm. And then my iPad I'll be able to do for casual things like watching videos on Twitter. So, you know, I could definitely see me using a MacBook Pro and a MacBook Air. I have a MacBook, a 13-inch MacBook. But it's still, like, it's nowhere near. It's not bad in comparison to the MacBook Pro, but it doesn't have any of the power.
No, that's the only problem with it. Like, I'd say this is more powerful than it.
Than the MacBook?
Yeah.
Oh, way more powerful. MacBook has 2 gigabytes of RAM.
Yeah.
You know, your MacBook Air is far powerful than it with its Ivy Bridge processor.
And I am also using, some of the biggest features I'm using are Launchpad, use that all the time, Mission Control, use that all the time. And I love just swapping between the desktops. I as you probably know, I have Space News Today, my website. Yep. And online I go up on Google Chrome, put it into full screen, and then I'm like, okay, I need to make this image, go over here, go into GIMP, do a couple of things. Then go back, upload it, go back, you know, go back and forth between different things like designing. And then I'd go into like open up all these different programs. It's good. Then I go into Minecraft and open up that another one to relax after my stressful day. You know, but I'm actually using a lot of the lion features. I haven't used any of the mountain lion features, but I have used the lion features, which is, you know, they're very, very useful.
Yeah, they are. So back to Windows 8.
How did we get on that topic?
Well, you were saying how, you know, yeah. You're not really using Windows anymore. Yeah. In regards of, you know, reviews Windows 8 has been getting, not great. Mm-hmm. Okay, hasn't been getting great reviews. Not a big surprise, really. But I don't think it's going to be as big of a fail as Vista. Reason being God. Is because I think it is actually a great tablet operating system.
It is.
For the Surface Pro. The Surface Pro isn't shipping yet. Just the Surface with the Windows RT. Because you cannot, on the ARM processor RT version, you cannot run any... You cannot run any Windows applications. Only specially designed RT applications. So even though you can get out of Metro, you can go into like your normal looking Windows with the taskbar. The only applications you can run in it are Office so far. And you can only run specific RT designed applications. Now, there are a lot of applications that are already on the Windows Store, a lot of major applications, which is a good sign. But what I would really like to see from a Windows tablet is to be able to run your normal Windows applications, especially if I'm getting the, the TypePad. You know, the TypePad is a keyboard, but it's also got a trackpad. So you can use the trackpad to use your normal Windows applications, right? So I can see Windows... Now, where can I see Windows 8 making sense and where can I see it not making sense? How is it going to do? I cannot Windows 8 making any sense on my computer I'm using right now, my desktop, because I've got a 25-inch screen over here and a 20-inch screen over here. The screens are huge. I don't want to be using full screen applications. I think it is unnecessarily bad use of screen real estate.
Yeah.
For example, on the screen right here, I have three windows open at the moment. Okay? Three separate applications open on spread out across the screen. Okay? And I'm not running anything full screen because I think it's a waste of space, especially for what I'm doing, okay? Mm-hmm. It's kind of unproductive for the majority of pro tasks you'd be using a fast computer such as this one for. Where I do see it making sense is on the smaller screens, such as your 11.6-inch MacBook Air over there, Kevin. Mm-hmm. Full screen, you run like Chrome full screen, whereas on my MacBook Pro, I don't run anything full screen. I hate running Chrome full screen because I always want to minimize it and open up other applications side by side because I have a bigger screen. But when it comes to a MacBook Air, I've tried doing that and the screen is just a bit too small. Like the text is really small sometimes. And
at least you can zoom in with it. That's what I love.
Yeah. I think that full screen is more practical on a smaller screen. Like, you know, it's proven on the iPad, for example, 9.7-inch screen. So I think that's where Windows 8 is definitely going to do well with its Metro applications. But I cannot see it working on a desktop computer. It's definitely radical, and Microsoft have definitely taken a new radical route. Now, what about the next version of Windows? Straight away, people have been already complaining about Windows 8. So, will Microsoft learn from this? That people do not want the Metro-style UI, which we're not meant to call Metro, because it's not actually Metro.
It's called that
people,
Start.
People don't... It's just Windows-style. people aren't going to want... You know, are Microsoft going to learn that people don't want this Metro-style UI on big computers? Do you think they will? Or do you think that they will still keep on coming out Metro with a Metro-style UI in the next version of Windows as well, all devices?
I think they'll learn, because they learned with Windows Vista.
Well, that was different, though. Was different. The only changes they needed to make with Windows Vista to Windows 7 is more reliable use of RAM, more reliable use of CPU, and serious design changes for accessibility to certain options and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, there's only a few things, and they're pretty simple, straightforward things to do to make Windows Vista good.
Yeah.
And that's what Windows 7 was. But with Windows 8, you see, it's such a radical new thing. I think Microsoft are going to keep pushing it for the future of Microsoft operating systems. I cannot see Microsoft coming out with the next version of Windows and saying, Metro wasn't really a great idea, so we've decided to come back to the standard Windows interface.
What I think they'll do is they'll scrap Metro in the way they're using it, but they'll bring it back in different ways.
Yeah,
they'll say, you see, they didn't like Metro, but we'll force it on them. We'll put it in somewhere else. No. I think they'll try and keep it in there, because, again, yeah, as you said, I don't think that we would see Microsoft saying, oh, yeah, well, we made a big mistake with Metro. It was absolutely horrific.
Well, they might actually bring out a desktop operating system version and a tablet operating system.
Yeah.
They might actually differentiate the difference between a desktop operating system and a tablet operating system.
Now, I don't see how they could change Windows in any way, apart from maybe, you know, CPU things, as I was talking about. But apart from that, I think Windows, the user interface in it, people have gotten used to it, you know? And it's not too difficult to get around once you know what to do. So, I don't really see how they could improve Windows in any way without people complaining. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm just thinking.
I suppose, yeah. You know. So you can see here that your 32 GB Surface or T tablet is out of stock for $499. Out of stock.
Yeah.
So you can get the 32 GB. Ha! That's hilarious. So they don't have the 32 GB is out of stock. But the 32 GB with a cover is not. Now, the cover is magnetic. So all you have to do is you sell the device separately. And then you just put the cover in as a separate box. So how can...
I'd say they've gone ahead.
I think I know what they're trying to do. What they're trying to do is... They're trying to... what they're trying to do is... And you see, look... The touch covers, it says the touch cover on its own is also out of stock. So what they're trying to do is get you to buy the ORT with the touch cover. That is funny. That is very funny.
Either that or they don't know what to do.
You got caught out there, Microsoft. Sorry. We're trying to be nice, but seriously. Come on, lads.
That is just crazy.
That is funny. That is hilarious. Well, let's take a look at some of the images. Okay, so here's your 360-degree view. It's got a... Now, people have been saying, even though it weighs the same as an iPad, it even has the same screen as an iPad, except it's, you know, it's a 16:9 screen. 16:9 ratio. So it kind of looks funny in portrait mode. People are saying it looks like, or it seems kind of a bit bulky. If you're just, you know, it's more of a device that you put on a desk rather than carry around with you.
Yeah, especially with that keyboard
and the kickstand at the back. And then they said that it was a very sturdy, very nice device. It even has a USB port right there, so you can use a mouse, a keyboard, you can use anything.
Thank you, Windows.
Yeah, you know,
Windows, Microsoft.
And I can't remember who said this, but whoever said it, it was a great quote. they said the difference between the iPad and the Surface tablet was that the iPad will do for you what it's designed to do very well, right? So it'll, you know, whatever the iPad is designed to do, it'll do very well. Whereas the Surface tablet will do what you want to do very well, what you want it to do very well, right? So, for example, and I thought this was a great quote explaining the differences between the iPad and the Surface tablet. If you wanted to plug in a mouse, for example, into an iPad, no. If you wanted to plug a mouse into a Surface tablet, yes. There is a USB port, so I suppose I'd be able to do it. You stick it in, work. Right? So you're able to do Microsoft Word and things like that. Like, you can basically make the Surface tablet to do whatever you want, really. Whereas with the iPad, it's extremely limited in comparison to the Surface tablet. Now, the Surface tablet really does. It looks very nice, but it seems like a laptop when it's got that thing with the keyboard and trackpad. It looks like a laptop, a touchscreen laptop. I think this is where you're going to see all the Windows 8 devices, is on these kind of tablets and laptops. So there we go. That's Windows 8. I think we've talked about Windows 8 a lot. Windows Phone 8 is next. Windows Phone 8, what changes have they made? They've made a new design, so you can get like smaller little tiles. It's kind of a bit more of efficient use of the screen real estate. And there's also a new lock screen and a new, you know, main menu. You've also got support for, like, when Windows Phone 7 came out, you had to have specific specifications on your phone. For example, with your processor and with your screen. Now they've added support for larger screens and 1.5 gigahertz dual core processor on devices. So for example, the Nokia Lumia 920 has a 1.5 gigahertz dual core processor and a larger screen. It's not like there is a need really for the faster processor, because Windows Phone is such a light OS. You know, it's very, very lightweight. It doesn't really need the power of a dual-core processor. But, you know, they've added support into that. There's a few new features, like extra applications as standard for, kids kind of security things. If you want your children to be messing around with your phone, you don't want them to be going in, deleting contacts, setting ringtones for certain contacts, Kevin.
Which
is a bit of an internal joke. And, you know, there's a few features like that on Windows Phone 8. So it's nothing really all that substantial, but a nice upgrade nevertheless. So I just want to say something about the new improvements I've been making to the studio recently. Starting off with these microphones. We've got new microphones in the studio because I think the old ones, they were condenser microphones, which basically means they pick up a lot of noise. So we got new microphones, which, well, they do a better job at not picking up the computer noise, but really the computer noise in here is so loud anyway. But we're going to be making more improvements as well to make our sound quality better in the future. But microphones were the first step. So we got these Samsung Q2U microphones.
Great.
Q2U, yeah. So they have, if you're looking at, getting a good microphone for Skype, let's say people can't hear you when you're on Skype or something, or you need a microphone and you want something that's good quality, this is the microphone to get. Comes with a stand.
I have it right here.
Okay, Kevin has it there. That's the stand. You screw the microphone into the stand.
Right here.
Right. Now, as you can see here, I have what's called an XLR connector going into my mixer from my sound system. I have this XLR connector. Now, if you wanted to bring it into a computer, there is also a USB connector. That'll go into the USB port on your computer. And then you've also got a headphone jack so you can monitor the microphone in real time.
And you can also, if you...
Good for podcasters.
If you have Windows, you can send your audio back out to the microphone.
Yeah,
so
good.
You can bring out... well, what I was thinking of doing is testing all these things out with recording. But what you can do is you can record your microphone and send Skype out to your microphone.
Yeah, so you can be monitoring your microphone sound and also listening to a Skype conversation. Yeah. That's what Kevin was doing
and
with me today.
You don't have to listen to the... you don't have to listen to, let's say, playing a game like Battlefield. That's what we're doing. You don't have to listen to Battlefield, but it picks up on the recording. Because you say to record the speakers.
Right.
Record the microphone. So, it works pretty well.
Yeah.
So, that's another great feature if you're having problems with that.
Yeah. These microphones are really great for if you're starting off podcasting and you don't have a mixer, or even if you just need it for... good Skype audio quality. These microphones are really good. And they compare, these are dynamic microphones, by the way, so it means they don't need any external power source to come into them. These microphones sound as good, in my opinion, as a Heil PR40, which is an extremely expensive microphone and a very high quality microphone. Now, they're nearly as good, you know, they nearly sound as good. Of course, you're going to have to EQ it in a certain way to make it sound as good, but it's not a Heil PR40, you know. You have to remember, this microphone costs about €50, comes with headphones as well, so it's a whole recording package, really. Really good. So, that's our microphone. So what's the next step? We're going to get a compressor, which a compressor-limited gate. What that does is, a gate will... So when you stop speaking, it'll mute the microphone so it doesn't pick up any noise when you're not speaking. That's what the gate is. Compressor will kind of limit the noise. So let's say if I start shouting into the microphone really, really loud, it will stop the...
From distorting.
Yeah, it'll stop it from distorting. So it'll bring down the audio levels, which is handy. And the limiter is kind of more of a harsh compressor. So it's like kind of a barrier. So if you set it so that it will not, you don't want the audio to go past 0 decibels, you just don't want it, then you set the limiter, the peak limiter, at 0 decibels. So that's pretty cool. And to help us to pay for that equipment, this new equipment to improve our audio, please support us by, you know, if you're shopping at Amazon, all you have to do, if you watch the show, just think of us. Because if you're buying anything at Amazon, from the new MacBook Pro Retina, iMac, iPad, iPad Mini, Mac Mini, even maybe a Surface tablet or Windows 8, maybe. you know, all you have to do is use our Amazon affiliate. So all you have to do is go to www.talksabouttech.com/Amazon, and that'll bring you to the Amazon homepage. All you have to do is continue on shopping for whatever you like, and you know, we get a small commission from that, and that helps us to pay for website hosting, getting new equipment in the studio, both audio and video, you know, improving the quality of our podcast. So I much appreciate if you're shopping at Amazon, you know, it doesn't cost you anything. Just, you know, if you are, just think of us, by shopping at Amazon. All right. You know, we're going to run well over time. So, and the next story that I have lined up isn't really a tech story. It's more like a gossip story. So I think we should, wrap it up for today. Okay, so thanks very much for joining me on this episode of Talks About Tech Weekly, Kevin.
Thank you for having me on this show. I really enjoy
it. Having you every week to discuss technology. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll be having a few more guests on in the next few weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
More more guests on. You know, we had Steve Lee on last, well, it was actually 2 weeks ago now, and I loved having Steve on. It was great. Thank you very much, Steve, for coming on the show. We had a great time. Mm-hmm. We had great fun, and we had some great discussions on tech. So thank you, Steve, for being on the last episode. And Kevin, you've been working hard on your website over the past week.
Yes.
This Halloween holidays.
I have.
I've also been working on my website, Talks About Tech. It's a complete revamp of the old website. Instead of it being black, it's now white. Whoa. Changed dramatically. And I also have done some redesign of the artwork for the show. But Kevin has really done a lot to you know, make his website really nice. As you know, he used to do a podcast, but now he's turning spacenewstoday.com, let's go to spacenewstoday.com, into a blog, right? So a really, really nice blog. It says, oh, coming soon.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're still working on it?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
I'll show it to you, sure.
Okay, yeah, Kevin can get it up on his MacBook Air. Let's see there. Oh, well, it's a bit over. Ah, it's okay. Well, when it's done, you'll be able to see it. He's still working on it, but I was able to go on it a few days ago, so it seems that he's still working on it now, but it's a really, really nice website, Kevin. So you're doing a really great job on it.
I'm still sort of working out some of these bugs, if you want to call them that, with WordPress. Well, they're not really. It's just
quirks.
It's sort of strange with the visual. I'm switching between the visual and HTML editor. When you go into the HTML editor, it looks like rubbish. You know, it's like, looks like all this code all over the place. And then when you go into the visual editor, then it looks all strange and weird and stuff. And then when you actually look at the page, you know, it's all right, and then you have to change something in the others, and it looks completely different to what it looks like when you're editing it, so.
Funny.
Yeah.
Funny that. You can follow Kevin on Twitter, Space News Today. He's turning Space News Today into a blog, so keep your eye out on Space News Today. If you want to get your lowdown, your weekly lowdown on space news, then keep on checking, you know, follow him on Twitter. He'll be tweeting out all the space news in the space world. So that's very cool, Kevin.
Thank you.
You can follow me on Twitter. Talks About Tech is the Twitter account. I, you know, tweet useful bits of information sometimes. Mostly not really, but you know, if you want to follow me there on Twitter. Also, talksabouttech.com is the website, if you don't already know about it. You know, watch us live on this show every Sunday, 8:30 p.m. GMT. We're live, we're here, we've got the chat room open, we're waiting for people to come in and watch us live, so, because we're kind of feeling a bit lonely here now. So, you know, if you feel like you want to, you know, watch us live, watch the pre-show, watch the post-show, watch me making funny, ridiculously rubbish jokes, but they're not really funny at all, they're just really bad jokes. If you want to watch me making stupid jokes, also shouting at Kevin a lot, then, you know, watch the pre-show, it's good fun. And you can watch us live. It's talksabouttech.com/live at 8:30 p.m. every Sunday. I'll probably be changing it to Saturday, but I'll see. It might suit me a bit better. Mm-hmm. So I think that pretty much ends the show today. Okay, one more thing that I forgot to mention. Yeah, so where am I going to go with this? I was thinking of two things at the same time. There was the email. So if you want to email me for any reason whatsoever, okay, maybe you want to say something that I may need to improve on the show, or anything, you know. If you want to contact me in any way, you can contact me at michael at michael@talksabouttech.com. That's michael@talksabouttech.com. Feel free to email me whenever you want. I will reply myself. Not like I get that many emails anyway, but you can use that email address. And I got an email the last day from someone in the UK. And he was asking how he could find my podcast on iTunes. And this is a very typical question that people would ask, is how to find the podcast on iTunes. So you can do an iTunes search. Now, he had difficulty finding me on the search, and that's because he used the computer to try and find my podcast. And when he did an advanced search for talksabouttech.com or talksabouttech, it didn't come up, right? So what you have to do is you just go up on the search bar. Let me see if I can bring this up on iTunes. When you get into iTunes, you don't do an advanced search. If you do an advanced search, it won't come up. It's very strange. I don't know why that happens.
I'm going to try this out here.
But if you do an advanced search, it won't come up. What you do is when you go onto iTunes, like I'm on the iTunes store right here. And all you have to do is click iTunes store and Talks About Tech. Click enter and the podcasts will come up right there. And you can subscribe to those podcasts. I have the video up here. I recently changed my video feed. So if you're subscribed to the old video feed, to this video feed right here, I stopped at episode 43 on that feed and I've changed my video feed to this. Where is it gone? I don't even know where it's gone now. Disappeared. Hang on. Let's try this again. There's a new video feed. It says unknown and it doesn't have an icon. I don't understand why it doesn't, but yeah, there it is. There it goes as well. And I've got the 44, 45, and 46. So you might want to subscribe to that feed if you want the latest video podcasts of Talks About Tech Weekly. I just changed the change that there. Or you can also see Midweek Tech and other Talks About Tech show. You can subscribe there. So that's how you get it on iTunes. So I'd like to thank that person for, emailing me and letting me know that he couldn't find my podcast on iTunes, because there's probably a few people who would be having the same issue as him. So I'd like to thank him for letting me know about that. So, you know, just remember for again not to do a power search, it's called. So you can see here you've got your power search on the left hand side. If you do a search for Talks About Tech and do a search for it there, will it come up? Now maybe they've
put in artist as well. Maybe.
Well, no, it has come up this time. It has come up this time. Which is interesting, because last time, it might have been something. I think I did an advanced search. I think I might have done a different type of search. Anyway.
If you put it in artist, it doesn't work.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You have to put it in title.
Okay, that's interesting. So there you go. So don't do a power search from now on. Just up on the top right corner, you've got your little search there. Okay, so thank you everyone for listening or watching to this episode of Talks About Tech Weekly. And until next time, goodbye.